If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no. Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. One thing that people who know me well and know sort of how much I enjoy local music, which is, I guess, obvious based on the content of the show, but I've always been a really big fan of both the local campus community radio stations in Winnipeg, CKUW and UMFM. UMFM actually broadcasts this show, one of the many places you can find the podcast, and TKUW just as well as UMFM is pretty much what I listen to if I'm listening to music on the radio. If I'm not listening to CDs or tapes or records, if I got the radio on, it's going to be, for music anyway, it's going to be one of those two stations. So I've always been sort of very much in favor of encouraging people to listen to those stations. I think it's awesome that there's opportunities for volunteers and people who are into really diverse, weird, interesting stuff to sort of have a platform to broadcast that stuff. So it's always cool to see that the stations are not only like still in existence, but they're thriving and things are happening. And it seems like, you know, it's been a long time since both of the stations have been around on the public airwaves. And I'm here with a representative of CKUW. I'll get you to introduce yourself and give your official title. I know there's a lot happening at CKUW, so we can get right into that.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Scott Price. I'm the program director here at the station, and I've been a volunteer at the station for over a decade. Like involved with the station, and then over the last, I guess, two, almost 3 years as staff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, and you were last on the show sort of during the pandemic. I was doing those quick hits episodes where I had sort of little micro interviews with a bunch of people, and we were talking about, you know, the ins and outs of operating a radio station when volunteers weren't able to come down to the station and actually do the volunteering sort of on site. So obviously things have changed, you know, since then. I mean, people are back, shows are happening everywhere. Hopefully we're past this. I mean, I never want to say for sure, but because it could come back and invite us. But how have things been sort of since then, now that things are back on track?
Yeah, I mean, with the campus being closed, it was a major hurdle. And for a little while, we had a satellite studio at the Fortune Block, which is the same building where the Times Changed is.
Right.
We did have that for several months as a kind of a workaround. So, but ultimately, it was obviously a tough thing to not have people be able to access the station. A lot of people, you know, moved to kind of doing remote, like recording from home. And then once the campus, you know, opened up again, it wasn't a mad rush back. I think a lot of people were comfortable with doing pre-recording at home and sending it into us, and that's fine. Although it's slowly sort of coming back, we still have a mix of like live shows and pre-recording, and I think the pre-recording is fine. Like a lot of people can still do really great shows pre-recorded from home, but I mean, live radio is always better,
sure.
I think. It just, there's an element to it that it's just, you can't reproduce. But I think we've gained, you know, when we would have done that interview last time, we were really trying to juggle like, oh man, like, you know, also people are just stopping their shows, right? There's a number of long time standby shows where through different circumstances, the people couldn't do the show anymore, or we've also had longtime hosts die in the last just couple years. Rocket Ronnie, who did Blues Day on Tuesday for 40 years, like before the station was even broadcast on FM, he died a couple years back, you know, and that was, you know, Ronnie was always a big part of the station. and Kemlin of Checksaw, which was one of the original shows. You know, that show was on, you know, starting in the first couple of years of the station even being on FM. They had to kind of stop doing the show just because of other life circumstances.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of that happening. But then with the opening things back up again, we've also had some new people come in. So that's great. Some new shows. And then so like a lot of the, there's still open spots, but there's a lot of new people coming in, I think, that are doing really cool shows, you know. And there's even still some of the legacy of the station coming back again, because there's one, it's Tuesdays noon to one, but it's an alternating show. So it's like every other Tuesday.
Okay.
But it's called a show called The Reminder, and the host, Laura Western, her dad, Bill Western, and I think her grandparents, the Westerns, were all involved with the radio station.
Oh, cool.
So she's like a third generation CKW person. And her dad is Bill Western, I believe. He plays in a bunch of bands.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
is he the pedal steel guy?
Steel. Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard him play. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and he plays in all these bands. So there's all this amazing connections that still happen. And so it was sort of like building things back again and kind of, but it was sort of, it's sort of touch and go. You kind of worried a little bit, like, is it still relevant for people? Do people still want to get involved with this? And it's clearly that people are still really interested, you know, we still have potentially some new shows coming and new people coming through the door. So I think that's great.
Well, and I guess that's kind of the sort of the nature of a volunteer-driven station too, is that you're going to get shifts in who's producing shows, because you have obviously the legacy shows that have been around for decades now, but there's also, you know, I'm sure every year there's a handful of new ones that come in, and then they become sort of those long-term hosts after they stick around for a while.
Absolutely. You know, like it really depends. Like some people, you know, they left a long legacy. A lot of these shows did it for, you know, a decade and more, doing a weekly show. So it's an amazing commitment. And, you know, those people have a great legacy, and they, you know, a lot of people would remember, you know, a lot of those kind of shows. But, you know, it's also the case that people could come in and maybe, you know, it doesn't mean everybody has to come in and do a show for a decade. Maybe you come in and do your thing, do a really good thing for 2 years, and that's the time for it, and that's about all you can do with it. Other life circumstances, it's always it's a changing thing. There, we have, you know, it's always going to be, you know, I think that especially with someone like a Rock and Ronnie, like it's inevitable that maybe people won't be doing their shows anymore at some point. But you know, when it happens, it's sort of like, oh man, like that's wow, he had that spot for you know, 20 years. And then, you know, it's like, but there's always going to be that changeover, and you just kind of have to roll with it a little bit. And also just, you know, like everything has its time and place, and, you know, it moves on from there. And it's, you know, and I, you know, another thing about that too, is as a program director, I've said to people that like, 'cause now the Tuesday time slot is pretty much all in the evenings, is all filled up. But I even said, people were like, oh, are you going to find someone else to do like a blue show on Tuesday night? And I said, I would never do that because it's disrespectful. Because Rock and Ronnie did his thing for like 40 years.
Yeah.
How can you ask anyone else to come in there and do a blue show? Like, we could obviously have a blue show on the station, and we do. But how can we ask anyone to, you know, it's the same thing I feel like with Keith Black on Wednesdays, who's been doing the jazz show for a long time.
It's a good show.
You know, awesome show. Keith Black is one of the best jazz shows in the whole country. Whenever he decides to stop and hang up the headphones, like, I would never put anyone in that position. You have to now follow that. It would never work. It's disrespectful.
Well, and the way you get people like that too is the way you get those great shows at the last for so long is because someone is passionate about whatever it is, right? Whether it's jazz or blues or punk rock or metal or whatever it is, you want them to sort of bring their own passion for whatever kind of music it is, and then that's how you develop those shows, right?
Exactly. So it's like, as a program director, that's why I always think about it. It's like, okay, like, you know, it's not saying we wouldn't have that music. Obviously, there's always a space for a broad range, all basically almost anything you can think of on the station. But I always think about, like, man, I just wouldn't put anyone in the position, and it's disrespectful to that past show and the fans, you know. It's really tough. You know, so it's always an evolving thing, but it's great to still see a lot of the mainstays and then also some new people coming in. So it's been really great, you know. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, and we've talked a bit today on here already about sort of the you know, there were shows before it went on to FM, and then shows that have come out since the FM thing happened. So when was that? I mean, for people who are maybe new to the station or unfamiliar with sort of the history here, there was a time when none of these, you guys and UMFM, were not on the airwaves. And then I don't remember the exact date. I'm sure you have that to handy. But there was a sort of a time when both of them, within a short distance from each other, sort of appeared on FM, and it changed everything. It changed, as someone who was listening to music on the radio, I was getting sick of the stuff they were playing on the mainstream rock stations. It wasn't what I wanted anymore. When I was 12, 13, it was great. But by the time, you know, I got a bit older, it wasn't representing sort of the styles of music I wanted to hear and the variety. And then those two stations came, CKW and UMFM, and it totally opened up just this whole new world. So what's the timeline here? Like, how long has this actually been a public station?
Well, on FM, the CKW, we're celebrating the 25th FM anniversary this spring. The official date is April 30th, 1999, is the first time that we broadcast. And I think there was, the first broadcast was the station manager, Rob Schmidt, doing a little on-air message. And then he played a song by The Jam called That's Entertainment. So that's like the first thing that was ever played.
That's cool.
On the station. And then we went from there. And so, yeah, it's been 25 years, you know, and I wasn't, there's that whole period of prior FM and that first, I don't know, I guess 12 years of FM that I was around for. I kind of came later. Okay. But so like 25 years, quarter of a century of doing this thing to do anything, right? Like, you think about a lot of Winnipeg mainstays of, you know, I think a lot of the, in terms of arts and culture and the constellation of, or the ecosystem of a lot of that stuff. I mean, thank God we still have places like Into the Music and festivals like Send and Receive and all that kind of stuff. But there's also a lot that hasn't survived. You know, I think about the A-Zone and the Mondragon. Like, that was also kind of tied in with the station, and it was sort of in there with the whole kind of scene and the ecosystem. And that, you know, I think Mondragon, that was about just over a decade.
Which is crazy,
you know,
to think about.
I don't think they got...
Because it seems like it was just open like last week. I mean, I know it wasn't, but yeah.
I know. No, I know. And so it's an amazing thing. And it's all that volunteer energy, passion, time, effort, and a lot of work from all the past staff, past and present. And then also all the listeners supporting, you know. And I mean, we've been doing, you know, being on FM for 25 years, and with those 25 years came fund drives every year, the annual fundraising thing we do, and funding drive we do in February. And, you know, we just had one. We were just doing all of our merch pickups for people who gave to the station, and they get either a shirt or whatever they wanted at Into the Music. And that was, it was really great. But it's like, that was the 25th time that we've done this thing, right? And it's amazing when you're looking at how it's grown now, and how it's really grown an audience and a dedicated audience, a place like this, CKW. So it's been 25 years. So, you know, and we still get great support. You know, I think there's always room for improvement and how to figure out how to do better. But at the same time, you know, we just did the fun drive, and it was about, our goal was 60, but we got to about 53,000, which is pretty great that a volunteer organization can do a fundraising campaign and get about at least 50 grand.
That's kind of every year, like, too, right? It's not just a one-off. It's, you're asking your listeners to support every year, and they do.
Every year. Yeah. Every year. And they come out and they support us, and it's just awesome, you know? So, the 25 years, it's crazy to think about. And even you think about where things were at in 1999, just in general with technology and culture and what it was like, and also to have, I was around, in 1999, but you just think about the culture and where things were at, and like, yeah, there was the internet, but it's not the same thing.
Barely the internet. We didn't really know what to do with it. Yeah.
Exactly. You didn't know what to do with it. And you think about what an amazing thing it would have been to be around that time, like you described it, Sam, about having UMFM and then having CKW would have been like, oh my God. And then that both of these institutions are still here. They're still the power of radio, right?
Yeah.
As much as, you know, right now we're talking over the internet and there's social media and podcasting and all that, there's still this power of radio, of the local connection and the local support and really focusing on the local, you know.
Definitely.
Which is, I mean, exactly what you do in a different format, but it's the same exact ethos, right? It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, it's just a newer version of it. It's using technology to make something equally DIY and volunteer based, but a little bit, obviously a different structure and a different,
you're absolutely right. Yeah. So it's just great that there's still this stuff. So thinking about that legacy and then seeing new people get involved and really getting that whole idea of that volunteer driven, the local is what matters. Local is what we got to support. You know, I mean, one of our, one of my bosses on the board of directors is a musician. He goes by Bazooka Joe.
Yeah,
some people might know him.
He's been on the show a number of times.
I mean, you know, great guy. And we were talking about different stuff about culture and music today and the different stuff. And he's like, yeah, you know, like eventually the younger musicians will get it. The younger bands will get it because eventually they'll understand, oh, literally no one else is rooting for us or going to support us other than a place like CQW or Witch Police or maybe the Uniter or something like
that.
That's
right, yeah.
It's like they'll figure it out pretty quick. Like, oh, these are literally the only people who will actually give a shit.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can take advantage of that and use that to your advantage as a band, as an artist, and say, like, these people want to hear what I have to do. They want me to perform live on air. They want me to, you know, do an interview on a podcast or in a magazine. And yeah, like it's, I think that's right. They figure it out, it's kind of a light bulb moment.
And it's like, we actually want to play your stuff. We actually want to play your music. Like, we want to play your music. We want to let people know about your shows. And so I think it's just such a great thing that we still have all this stuff, and it's amazing. It's just so amazing when you start thinking about it, that this whole thing is still going, right?
Yeah.
Even with all the changes and it's still there, you know? And I was even joking with some people over the, I was saying this a few times on air during the fun drive, like, about those local artists and how we've always championed them. And
yeah,
I think it's one of the best things. I always have to chuckle at it, and it happened more recently, is because Paige Drobot is now getting a lot of attention.
She deserves every bit of it.
Well deserved. But in Exclaim and other places, up and coming artist. And I just laugh, like, I've known about Paige for a decade now.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing her play when she was just like a young kid, you know, a Negative Space on Princess Avenue at that weird little warehouse venue. And it's like, yeah, like, people at the station have known about her like forever now. It feels like, it's funny seeing her in other people's eyes being an up and coming artist.
Yeah.
But for us and people like you, we're like, yeah, I've known about Paige for years. Like,
yeah.
I've seen her play all the time.
Yeah, it's cool. Know? It's cool. When things so insular like that, we have this, I mean, the music community, I think, despite being big, it's definitely incestuous. Everyone works with each other, plays with each other's bands, knows each other. And then when someone breaks out of there, it's kind of like everyone's rooting for them, right? Everyone's excited about someone like Paige, you know, getting that attention, getting that exposure. You're like, yes, finally someone has escaped the bubble and now are sort of being pushed higher up to everyone else to discover.
Yeah, Yeah, but it also speaks to, if you're tuning into, I think, like CQW, UMFM, Witch Police, if you're into music, these are the places like you should go to find out about this stuff.
Yeah.
And then you'll know. Because I think it's one of those things where, yeah, we have all this information, but sometimes it's hard to know what the heck to do with all of it. And there's still a need for people to kind of curate things and to kind of show you along, and this is the who's who and this is the what.
Definitely.
What's what, you know? It's incredible. It blows my mind that, like, you know, you think about it, like even the time I've been at the station, how much it's changed, just landscape politically, technologically.
Sure.
But, you know, there's still this power of radio that we still have that's a really powerful tool. You know, I try to emphasize that to some of the volunteers. I'm like, look, I know you can't see them, but easily thousands of people are listening to you do your show.
Yes.
And they have a look of fear in their eyes. They're like, huh? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, don't think about it too much, because don't freak yourself out that much, but just know, because sometimes they're like, oh, like, who really listens? I'm like, oh, yeah.
A lot of people.
Thousands of people are listening to you, you know? So there's a power in that, you
Definitely.
Know, and really getting that forward. And especially as we've seen more recently, and the station has dealt with this, you know, social media can also be blocked off really easily. We've been banned on Meta and Facebook and Instagram.
Yep.
The station can't share anything on it. It doesn't get seen. But we still have a radio station that broadcasts to the entire city and in some cases beyond, you know, even the FM single, the FM can carry fairly far sometimes, and also on the internet as well. So it's like, we still have this powerful tool that's in our hands.
Yeah,
and that speaks to that DIY sort of culture, that DIY aesthetic, I think.
Right. So, you don't need you don't need Meta to broadcast for you. You're already doing it regardless. Even if there was no social media, you'd still, I mean, when it started, there was no social media and it still existed. With the 25th anniversary in mind, obviously now with technology, the idea of, you know, recording all the shows that happen and archiving a lot of this stuff is a push of a button. It's easy to do. I know that most campus community stations around the country now will put out podcast versions of their episodes, and it's usually fairly simple to sort of keep that stuff documented. How far back does the station have recorded shows? Like, do you have any existing shows from the first year that are like on a tape somewhere, or is it all too far back?
Some of it digitally will go back to, I don't know exactly. It won't be those first years, because a lot of the stuff is still all on tape.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, so because of the 25th, we are asking some people to see if they have old shows or something. Like if some people would have recorded it themselves on cassette or something. So there's certainly that kind of stuff that exists. But I would say at least a good, you know, at least 15, maybe 20 years of stuff, there might be a back catalog.
Very cool.
I don't know how well organized it is. I can't really get into any details because it's not confirmed yet, but we have been looking at some grants about properly archiving a lot of this stuff.
Oh, cool.
And specifically a lot of the stuff with Stylus, the music magazine that's been around since 89.
Yeah.
So we are looking at, like, how do we preserve some of these things? Because, you know, like, you know, you even think about it when someone like a Rock and Ronnie passes, it's like, yeah, all these people are not going to be around forever. It's good if we can document some of this stuff, maybe do some interviews, have it there. But it goes back fairly far. I mean, there's an archive online, but that only goes so far.
Yeah.
But we do have a we call it the deep archive of stuff. So it can stretch way, way back for sure. But those early years, I mean, yeah, if you wanted something pre-recorded and other stuff, like, it was like they were literally playing tapes.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they would do back in the day, you know? So it's even that's way different. I mean, that's something I never even experienced at the station. It's way before my time.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Well, I always wondered about that, because I'm definitely, as I think people know who know me, I'm obsessed with archiving local music stuff. That's part of the reason I do the show. It's part of the reason I have this stupid large hoard of local tapes and records and CDs and stuff So I think if I was there, I could spend probably like days, weeks, months digging through that stuff. But I'm glad that there is an archive, however it's organized or whatever, because there's so many, so many gems that just great, like, performances, interviews. And I mean, I'm sure it would take someone forever to go through all the recordings and find that stuff. But I mean, the fact that it exists is makes me happy. I'm glad to hear that it exists somewhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and even with the music collection, like, we have one of the bigger music collections in the city, and there's always these little gems. You know, one guy, this is a little while ago, Jeff Peeling, he does, he plays in some local bands as well.
Yeah, he's been on my show a couple times. The inflatable band,
yeah. And he does a show called Adult Kindergarten on Thursday nights, and he was pulled out this band that Daniel Monkman was in, who now does Zoom.
Yeah, and he's very successful in Zoom, very critically acclaimed.
Super successful. I mean, amazing band. But he was like, hey, check out this. This was one of his first bands, like their demo tape that we have, demo CD that we have. It's like on an old, like the burnt CDR thing. He's like, yeah, I'm going to play this on the show. And I was like, that's wild that that's amazing we even have this. Who knows what the musician themselves thinks about old demos, or if they even want that stuff to even be played.
It exists. It's going to be played by somebody.
Too late. Yeah. But we have that kind of stuff. And I think it's such a cool thing, you know? And it's stuff that's not, there's a lot of stuff that's just, you can get a lot of stuff online and even a lot of cool stuff on Bandcamp, but not everything's on there. There's still, you know, there's still a lot of that stuff that we have, you know? So.
That's the exciting part, I think, because that's one of the reasons I collect all these tapes and things too, is because, you know, I have, I think, like 1,200 local albums on various formats total, and maybe 300 of them aren't available online. And some of those 300 are like the best stuff I have that I've ever obtained by local bands. And it just was a band that was around for 6 months, and they put out a demo and then they were gone. And there's like 10 copies of it, and I listen to it every week, you know? Like, there's that kind of, those kind of things are, I love that people, aside from just me, are holding on to these things. And I assume that, you know, CKW and UMFM and anyone else doing this, stylist, whoever, they probably have a decent way of archiving it rather than just having it in a bunch of boxes. Or maybe not. But, I mean, the fact that you have it is great.
Well, we do our best. I mean, we're sort of working at again, a lot of the stuff isn't confirmed with grants, but this is some stuff that I've been looking at that I think would be good for the station to do, you know? So, so I do think about that, and how do you archive, how do you collect, how do you preserve these things? It's important questions for the local culture and the history of that, because no one else is going to do it, right?
Yeah.
Really, I mean, that's what it comes down to. So like, someone has to try to keep this stuff and preserve it as best we can. It's all sorts of gems. Like, I started doing a show again, on the radio, Tuesdays 3 to 5, it's called Radio Free Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And I will search for stuff, just to see what we have in the collection. And a lot of times I've found things just by looking in the same section, what I'm looking for. Okay. What else is this? What is this? Interesting. Okay, cool. I'll flag this. Found so much great stuff. And so, as much as things like Bandcamp and streaming services are great, having this collection here that we've maintained is also been a big thing of just discovering more music, right?
Like, totally.
Because I feel like even with the streaming services and stuff like that, you can just end up listening to the same things over and over again. Whereas with this, I guess this sort of mixed approach between using some of these newer methods, but then also going back to the rich, like, physical media, this collection we have, you start to discover more and more and more.
Yeah.
And like, cool stuff. And you just happen upon stuff that you would never find. Like, you're not even really looking for it.
You didn't even know it existed in the first place. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, oh, that's really cool. Like, oh, we have this compilation of, psychedelic music from Thailand. That's cool. Awesome. I'll probably play this on my show. You know, like, you just find little things like that, you know? It's so important. I mean, it's the same thing like going to, you know, this last weekend, like I said, we were doing our merch incentive pickups for Fun Drive It Into the Music. You know, on those lulls, I just look through the records, and you just, it's like the same thing, like, oh, cool, what's this? You know, it's the same, it's that same experience, you know? But there's a lot of value in that.
Definitely, definitely.
There's so much value left in that, yeah.
So for the 25th anniversary, are there any events happening that are being planned? Are you guys doing anything exciting to celebrate this?
Yeah, well, the big thing I'm going to say is that we're putting it out there, is on May the 17th, at the Handsome Daughter, we have a 25th anniversary show. So that's going to be Block Parents, Guilty Sleep, and Cheap Heat are going to be playing, and the tickets are $15 at the door. Come on down. It's just a celebration. We just wanted to put on a show for 25 years. I'm really excited for the lineup. I met one of the main guy that does Cheap Heat like last year or the year before. I did an interview with them, and I'm happy that we could do something together, because he's like,
cool band.
So I'm happy that we finally got to like kind of do something together. Guilty Sleep, I'm not too familiar with, but it was suggested by Keely, the editor, stylist, like, oh, they're a good young band. I was like, yeah, great, let's put them on. And Block Parents, who are great, who are like a Winnipeg
super group.
Yeah, you said it, the super group, exactly. You know, and they're so I'm really excited for that show. I think it's gonna be just a fun, you know, $15. I think it's a good it'll be a good night. And there's also going to be starting April 30th, and then for that week, we're going to have like give people the option of doing some sort of a 25 year thing on their own shows if they so choose. It could be for some of these shows that have been around for a long time. Maybe they find old shows, maybe they find old set lists that they maybe have kept, or some way of marking 25 years. And even with the newer shows, maybe they'll just do something on the theme of 25. So there'll also be that kind of on-air component for that April 30th going into the next week. So I think there could be some really cool stuff happening there as well. I mean, it's kind of up to the hosts, right? I didn't want to dictate too much. Just kind of give them a framework. If you want to do something, this is what you can do. It'll be a fun. I'm looking forward to what's going to be on air, and also the show at the Daughter. The Handsome Daughter. I'm really excited for. So again, that's May 17th at the Handsome Daughter. Doors at 8, show at 9, $15, Block Parents, Guilty Sleep, Cheap Heat. It's going to be a fun rock and roll show, and we'll hang out and have a couple of beers, and hopefully by then I would have tried their new hot dog menu, but if not, I'll probably have a hot dog while I'm there. I think it'll be a fun time, and 25 years of this amazing thing that we have in this city, you know, so.
It's super cool, yeah, yeah. And then obviously people can tune in to 95.9 FM. What other options do people have to connect with CKAW?
Especially for, tuning in. If you're a musician, you're a local artist, you're doing something, you're doing even other sort of events around town, like get in touch with me, programming@ckaw.ca. Let me know about what's happening. If we can help promote it in some way, we would love to. Especially with new music and stuff like that, like, yeah, just send it on in. Or you know, I was just talking with what's his name? The Jarrett from the Jerry Hatrix. And I actually went to high school with him. He was a super talented guy. Cool. And he was like, oh, I got a new single, like, can I send it to you? I was like, absolutely, man, send it on, like, just get in contact with us about if there's something you want to promote or have us support. Like, we're always open to that kind of stuff.